Ze gingen niet naar Londen, niet naar Manchester. Nee, ze kozen voor Birmingham. Daar in die grauwe fabriekstad in de Engelse Midlands begon het Editors-avontuur eigenlijk pas echt.
Just went to Birmingham and you know had a good time. It's quite a slow city and you know it's kind of there's a lot of space and industrial units and you know it's pretty cheap.
You know, well, those things are helpful when you.
They are for artists. You know, I don't know how like young bands go to like London and you know manage to you know. I guess they just
feed
themselves. They're really hungry and you know, must rehearse in a shoe cupboard.
De huren waren laag en er waren veel podia om op te treden. Dat waren dé redenen voor de jongens om te verkassen naar Birmingham. Wat trouwens ook de thuisbasis was van
ELO. Duran Duran. To the streets.
I came to this world with nothing, and I leave with nothing but love.
Het is weliswaar de grootste stad in Engeland na Londen, maar heel erg sexy is Brummy, zoals Birmingham heet, niet.
I don't think Birmingham's ever had a strong scene that defines it. The people in Birmingham are very different from a Liverpool or a Manchester, and it's not like they're not proud of being. I'll tell you they're from Manchester.
Tom woont tegenwoordig met zijn vrouw, DJ Edith Bowman, en zijn kids in Londen. Ed woont in New York, maar Russell woont nog steeds in Birmingham. En dat is ook nog steeds de plek waar de band het liefst repeteert.
We still, even though Russell's the only member of the band now that lives in Birmingham, and we rehearse, we still rehearse there. We spend, over the last 2-3 years, we spent probably over a year and a half rehearsing there.
Het duurde nog een jaar of twee voor editors een platendeal kregen en iets konden gaan opnemen. In 2005 kwam hun debuutsingle uit, Bullets, die gedraaid werd op alternatieve radiostations. BBC-DJ Zane Lowe riep hem uit tot single van de week en binnen een dag waren alle exemplaren uitverkocht. Toch duurde het lang voordat er verder echt iets gebeurde met de band. Het duurde namelijk nog een jaar voordat het debuutalbum, The Backroom, echt aansloeg.
That first record, especially in modern terms, it didn't break overnight. It took quite a while for that record to connect on any kind of wide level, you know. We did a lot of touring with it and released a lot of singles, some of them more than once. And it certainly wasn't an overnight success. It wasn't, in the UK especially, it wasn't until a year and a half after we released it that the album kind of climbed back up the charts and suddenly we were, you know, had any level of significance really.
In de zomer dat het debuutalbum uitkwam, stonden editors alweer op Nederlandse bodem. Ditmaal op Lowlands. Bummer was wel dat de band dan wel hier stond, maar hun apparatuur, die stond nog lekker op de band van EasyJet in Birmingham. Dus ze moesten apparatuur van andere bands lenen om te kunnen optreden. Alsof een festival optreden al niet spannend genoeg was.
Yeah, it's terrifying. I mean, those gigs at that point in our career were terrifying anyway. It was our first experiences on those big festival stages. And they're not very easy when you're starting out. There's so many reasons why it's hard work to get up and do the shows, you know, hearing yourself, communicating with such a big audience, playing slightly differently, you know, it was a very foreign environment for us.
You know, you don't take your monitor engineer, it sounds terrible, you know.
You've had no sleep, you know, literally no sleep because you had to get up at 5 a.m. when you got to bed at 3 the night before so you could get the flight to, you know, and
EasyJet didn't bring your equipment. It was still sitting there when we got back.
Still in the lid, it was in the by the
it was
carousel.
It never left, so yeah.
Knew about it because they'd been told, thank God. There was a warmth and a bigger sense of appreciation because we'd made the effort and tried to do the show. I've listened back to recordings of some of those songs, which you can do on YouTube, and it's fucking terrible. It sounds so bad. I think I'll never forget that show.
Ondanks die pech was in Nederland de liefde voor editors definitief geboren. Toen album nummer 2, An End Has a Start, uitkwam, was de band al uitgegroeid tot pingpop mainstage proporties. Pinkpop mainstage. Ja, midden op de dag, dat dan wel. Nog zeker niet de headliner.
On the second record, I mean, we play Pinkpop mainstages, but you're on at like 4 p.m. and I don't know, I think you're at a funny point generally, because you're still a young band and you're still trying to find your feet. You haven't done those big stages and you haven't done them at night.
You're not the headliner.
You're not the headliner, which a lot of people are waiting for those bands that are on just after you. So.
Tom worstelde de eerste jaren heel erg met het optreden voor een groot publiek. Hij vond het eng en hij had moeite om zijn draai te vinden.
The first album of, all those shows, points were quite tense for me and quite hard work. Festivals come along and those stages get bigger. By the time of our second record, and there's really enormous crowds, it's terrifying. And I'm still learning and finding new ways of doing things on stage and stuff. But once you trigger that in your mind, those big stages at festivals, suddenly where they become enjoyable places to be, especially when they're going well.
De kritiek in het begin op de band was dan ook dat ze zo serieus waren. Er kon nauwelijks een lachje vanaf. Het ontbrak een beetje aan schwung, aan datgene wat een live optreden zo opwindend kan maken. Technisch gezien was het allemaal hartstikke goed, tenminste als de eigen spullen er waren, maar er miste nog iets.
Music very seriously when we started and getting up and we never dreamt about being performers. It was just about making songs together in a rehearsal room and recording them, and that was kind of what we loved about it.